going on, Eagles Nation? Welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Today is Thursday, July 19th. Lou DiBiase in studio with you today, continuing our positional previews as training camp officially starts next Wednesday, July 25th. The team reports and gets ready to defend their 2017 Super Bowl title. And we'll have it all covered right here on LockedOnEagles.com and on the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, anywhere that you want to find podcasts. We are up and available there. Please subscribe to the pod and just continue to leave us feedback and just continue to interact. It's great. It's been a great ride so far, basically two months in now. You can follow me on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE. If you have any comments from recent shows, or hit me a line if you want to hear us talk about different topics throughout the season. We're going to be posting at least 5 times a week during the season with myself and also Johnny Page, who is the host of the Locked in the Film Room podcast right here on Locked On Eagles. So we're going to get it all going, and with training camp kicking off next week, that's when the content really is going to get going, when we got some awesome stuff. We'll have takeaways from training camps, and we'll even have an in-person one. As August 11th, I have reserved my free tickets to the open training camp practice at Lincoln Financial Field. And just before we get into, we're going to be previewing running backs today. We're going to get into the running back position with the Eagles. But before we get into that, I just want to say, it was just another moment of how proud I was to be an Eagles fan this week, and just so cool to see Eagles Twitter kind of interact on the same thing. So the Eagles were giving away free tickets to this training camp practice, two actually, in fact, August 5th and August 11th, and you had to reserve your tickets online on the Eagles official app or the official website through Ticketmaster. NFL Ticket Exchange is where you were able to acquire these tickets. They're free general admission. But they were only available for, I think it was around 20 minutes, there were tickets available, and you had to jump on them then. And luckily, I got mine. I got two for myself and my girlfriend, Kim. We're going to be going August 11th. So super excited about that. So I'll be covering the practice live and in person. So if you Eagles fans out there listening want to meet up, maybe get some cheesesteaks somewhere, enjoy, just talk the birds, hit me up again at DiBiaseLOE. But it was awesome because on the Ticketmaster website for NFL Ticket Exchange, when they were reserving your tickets, there was a check mark, but the circle around it kept buffering, and it was taking a while. And everyone on Twitter, Eagles Twitter, is like, is this happening to you? Like, is it already sold out? Am I not getting tickets? And everyone's freaking out because probably thousands of people at the same time jumped on trying to get training camp tickets, which is so cool. Literally just for two training camp practices, this is how passionate Eagles fans are about the team, and especially the hype is obviously crazier with them winning the Super Bowl in 2017 last year. So, I mean, of course the hype's going to be even crazier, but the fact that there were so many people on Twitter wanting, you know, nervous that they might not get tickets to these open practices is just so cool, and it makes me just so proud to be a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Let's get into now our positional previews, round two. We posted quarterbacks. That is up on the website, LockedOnEagles.com, if you want to go check that out. We talked about Carson Wentz, Nate Sudfeld, and Nick Foles. I don't know why I put Nate Sudfeld there ahead of Nick Foles. I'm sorry about that. I did talk more about Sudfeld, probably. Went back and reviewed his start against the Dallas Cowboys Week 17. So we got some really good stuff in there, some awesome stats that make you love Carson Wentz even more. So I do recommend you go check that out. But today, we're going to talk about a position that's very interesting for the Eagles. It was a position that the Eagles actually resulted in being the third best rushing offense in football last year. It was a dynamic running back core. It was different talents. You know, you start off the year with LeGarrette Blount and Darren Sproles and Wendell Smallwood. People were very concerned, remember, with the running game back up until, I think it was week 3 when the Giants game happened, and then the Chargers game was really the running game's coming out party, especially LeGarrette Blount. But people were concerned about the running attack. It didn't seem like they had a workhorse back. Blount struggled in the preseason, and he struggled to really see any touches in the first two games against the Redskins and Chiefs. But then by the Super Bowl, it turned into two bruising running backs in Ajayi and Blount, who had the highest yards after contact in the playoffs last year. You had these two guys that are just impossible to bring down, and you add a dynamic pass catcher who no one thought was going to be a dynamic pass catcher in Corey Clement, who is basically the Darren Sproles of the offense when Sproles went down against the Giants week three. Just an incredible story was Corey Clement being an undrafted free agent coming from Wisconsin. So it went from being the weak point probably of the Eagles' whole team to being a strong suit. The three combined had over 230 yards from scrimmage against the New England Patriots. That's an underrated moment. We talk about Nick Foles, the Alshon Jeffrey touchdown, Nelson Aguilar's nine catches, Zach Ertz's game winner, the Brandon Graham strip sack, but the running attack, the diverse just pummeling that LeGarrette Blount, Jay Ajayi, and Corey Clement handed the Patriots in that game, I think goes undersold. And really, this might be the first time since LeSean McCoy was traded that the Eagles have a clear-cut, you know, set to be productive, diverse, complementing backfield. Because I know the Eagles lost LeGarrette Blount, but you know, I think Ajayi is gonna get a bigger workload, and you have Corey Clement back year two. I think he's gonna be even better, and you add Darren Sproles. That is some power. You have speed, pass catching ability, some really good pass blockers. I really like what the Eagles have at running back right now, and they're not paying any of these guys a whole lot of money right now. JGI is probably one of the most talented running backs in football right now, and he's only 25 years old, and the Eagles have him on the books. I think it's at $1.9 million is his total salary cap hit. So the Eagles are paying nothing for a position that they're going to get a lot of production out of this year. And Eagles Twitter has discussed a lot this year who ends up finishing with more touches between Ajayi and Clement. And, you know, I thought about this before the show. I think it's going to be pretty even. But if you had to ask me right now, if Jay Ajayi is healthy, which is a big if, he stayed healthy last year, although he didn't have as big of a workload as he did back in 2016, where he had over, I think it was he was at exactly 260 carries with the Dolphins in that 1,200-yard season. He does have a history of knee issues, so me saying Ajayi, if healthy, is definitely something that has weight to it, because he's not always healthy, but Ajayi, when healthy, I think is going to be the starting running back for this Eagles team, and although that doesn't mean as much as it would with other teams, I think he's going to end up finishing with more touches overall than Corey Clement, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if Clement ended up really producing, not only as a receiver, but as a rusher. You know, let's remember back when we were talking about Corey Clement when we brought him in from Wisconsin. The Eagles thought they had a productive running back that maybe was limited, though. He didn't come off the charts when it comes to his combine stats. You know, he didn't really perform well at his combine in the pro days. He was seen as an unathletic running back that is a one-cut runner. He's safe. He'll probably be a good bargain deal as an undrafted free agent. Maybe will help out in special teams. But no one saw him to be this dynamic, versatile running back that he became with the Eagles. It's such an awesome story. But while he became this versatile running back, I think people forget, though, that he actually, before that, was just a one-dimensional running back, if you know what I'm saying. Like, it's almost as if before it was he's just a rusher, and then when he became a pass catcher, I think the first game I started realizing was the Redskins game, when he caught that amazing touchdown. I was at that game on Monday Night Football, when Wentz stepped up in the pocket as he's getting hit, delivers a perfect throw to Clement in the red zone. He makes an unbelievable catch, gets both feet down. I think that's when I realized, like, okay, Corey Clement actually has some receiving ability. But when that happened, we kind of almost tied him into Darren Sproles now, where he's our receiving back, and that's his role now. And, you know, we got Blount to be the normal running back, if you will, and Corey Clement's our third down pass catching back. But with that, I think people actually forgot his rushing ability. And I think people are going to be surprised this year when they see him become much more of a complete running back than he was last year. I think he's going to get a lot more carries than people expect. Some people, I know Elliot Shore Parks thinks he's going to end up being the workhorse running back for the Eagles, or at least the starting running back that gets more touches. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be the case next year, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if Corey Clement ends up being your future starting running back, with a few other guys, a rookie drafted, if they don't re-sign Ajayi, and, you know, a Denell Pumphrey, Josh Adams, whoever is the other guy they keep as the fourth running back. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Corey Clement has that kind of role, but he definitely is going to have an extensive role with the Eagles for the foreseeable future. I just think, though, people forget what a just a natural runner he actually is at the running back position. So, again, Ajayi had 260 carries as the starting running back in Miami, right? LeGarrette Blount, I went back last year, he had 173 as the Eagles' starting running back. I think if when we're talking about Jay Ajayi's touches, when we're talking about just who's going to get how many carries, I think Ajayi finishes closer to Blount's range. I think he gets more around maybe 180 to 109 carries, roughly should place Ajayi around that area. And I think he's going to get more receptions. He only had 10 catches with the Eagles last year, but I think you saw in the playoffs they used him a lot more in that area, especially in the screen game. I think Ajayi will end up getting maybe 15, 20, or 20 to 25 receptions. Puts him around over 200 touches next year. I think that's a perfect workload for him next year, and I think if he stays healthy with that, I'm for re-signing him. I think Clement should get around 35, maybe 40 catches. I look back to Darren Sproles' last full season 2 years ago. He had 52 catches. The Eagles have a lot more weapons they do now than they did in 2016. So I don't think Corey Clement gets 52 catches, especially with Sproles dipping into him when it comes to being a receiving running back. But I think you add 35, maybe 40 catches on top of 140 carries, I think that's what you have with Ajayi and Corey Clement. I totaled how I got to 140 carries with Corey Clement was Corey Clement last year, his total touches, I think he was around 70 carries. Jay Ajayi was at 73. So total, him and Ajayi's carries last year totaled around 140. I think now with Ajayi probably taking on Blount's role, Corey Clement is going to take over just as the Ajayi and Clement role, as that just second primary runner, and I don't think there's going to be a third like there was last year, because I just don't see them using Sproles as a rusher like they did in the past. And again, I think Sproles, I think he's going to dip into Clement's receptions, but I think there's room for both on the field, even at the same time, honestly. I think Sproles is a guy much more advanced as a pass catcher, where you can line him up in the slot with Clement as a running back. Maybe you do two running back sets with both in the backfield. Maybe some triple option you can use with Carson Wentz. They love to use RPOs last year. Maybe you try to implement both of those guys in that next year. There's just so much the Eagles can do with this core, not only at running back, but also in receiver and tight end. But with Sproles in the backfield, a lot of the time it's pretty telling what you're going to do. So probably he only really lines up as a running back in obvious passing situations when Corey Clement takes a breather. And Sproles has a much more advanced route tree. Clement last year caught a lot of his passes on the same out routes and wheels, whereas Darren Sproles has a much more diverse ability when it comes to route running. But Corey Clement is, I think, the most exciting one. I think Ajayi is going to be the safest, clear-cut. When we have to rely on him, I think he's going to be the most reliable guy. But Corey Clement just offers so much that I didn't think he was going to offer when we brought him in, and I don't think a lot of Eagles fans offered or expected him to offer. Clement also really good in pass protection. I think Johnny Page talked about this. If you want to go back and hear more about Corey Clement extensively, the first episode of Locked On the Film Room, Johnny Page went in on Corey Clement, which is his guy. He absolutely loves Corey Clement. And this was even before the Eagles drafted him. He was big on Corey Clement. So go check that out, because he goes in depth about Corey Clement's strengths, what to expect in 2018. It was some really good stuff. But I checked it out on Pro Football Focus. He had a 70 graded rate when it comes to pass protection. And the highest grade, for if you're wondering, C.J. Anderson was at an 83. So Clement was at the top when it comes to a pass protector last year. So that's also going to make him the easy choice, maybe not the easy choice because of Sproles, but the favorite to be the third down running back. So I think Corey Clement is going to be probably the most exciting. I think Eagles fans are most excited about Corey Clement, but he, to me, is going to absorb that role of what he did last year on top of Jay Ajayi's touches, and then Ajayi is going to get that LeGarrette Blount workload, maybe with a little bit more, because I think that without Blount there now, again, Blount was a rusher too, so all three had the capability to gain extensive carries. Now it's just Clement and Ajayi. I really don't expect Darren Sproles to get a lot of work as a runner. At age 35, I think they're going to still want to use him as a punt returner too. So they're going to want to really keep Darren Sproles healthy, especially for the playoffs. We haven't seen what Darren Sproles can do for this Eagles team in the postseason, and that's going to be a dynamic threat to have when you're going up against some of these NFC juggernauts. So I think especially because of that too, they're going to want to preserve him for the end of the year in crunch time. So especially early on, I don't think you'll see Darren Sproles much as a running back. It should be interesting too to see who gets the red zone work. In the red zone last year, Clement had 4 touchdowns inside the 20. 2 were in the same game against the Denver Broncos. Blunt had 2 touchdowns in the red zone. Smallwood had 1, and then Kenyon Barner had that one on Sunday Night Football. So the Eagles had 8 total red zone touchdowns, and they only had 9 rushing touchdowns last year total. So if they're going to get touchdowns for you fantasy owners out there, you're going to want to watch who the Eagles are going to be working in as the red zone running back a lot, because if you want touchdowns, that's really where they got them, was inside the 20-yard line. That's when the Eagles running backs were going to score if they did at all. Jay Ajayi had the biggest one against Denver when he ripped off that, I think it was around a 50-yard touchdown against the Broncos. So, you know, they don't really necessarily have a home run hitter, but you could definitely tell when Ajayi and Clement got a lot of work that the running back position suddenly was a threat to bust out a big play. The Eagles actually had 63 rushes of 10-plus yards, which led the league. So there were big plays to be had, and with Sproles back, I think they're going to be even better in that area. But the majority of their work when it comes to scoring the football came inside the 20. I think Corey Clement is the favorite right now to be the red zone guy. That's what a lot of Eagles media is projecting. Ajayi's the biggest guy, so he's probably the easiest to say, yeah, he's the guy that's going to punch it in inside the 1 or 2. And although that might be right, the Eagles really like to pass down there, which makes Corey Clement and Darren Sproles better options. Wentz, I looked it up, some red zone numbers on the Eagles last year. Wentz had 24 touchdowns inside the 20, and he had 13 inside the 10. Wentz had a 116.3 QBR in the red zone as well. So the passing attack was pretty dominant in that area, and it's only going to get better this year with Dallas Goedert in the mix as well and Mike Wallace. So the running back scored mostly in the red zone last year, but again, they only had 9 rushing touchdowns. That's really not a lot when we're talking about just running backs. So it's going to be interesting what they do in there. I think when it gets closer and closer, you'll see Ajayi more. But when they get to the red zone inside the 20, they do still really like to pass. So that doesn't mean suddenly, oh, Corey Clement and Darren Sproles are not going to be used. And again, Corey Clement is a very hard runner. People cannot forget what he is as a rushing running back. I remember specifically the play that always stands out for me with Clement when we're talking about a hard, strong runner in between the tackles is actually against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. When they were in the red zone, Corey Clement actually lowered his shoulder, carried, I think, 3 Patriot defenders that were on him, nearly scoring, got to the 2-yard line, and almost scored. I think Corey Clement and Ajayi are going to split, but it's definitely an interesting dynamic because they do really like to pass down there. But when they get to the 1 or 2-yard line, I think maybe is that when you start to see Jay Ajayi. And also, let me read that back for you. Inside the 20, Corey Clement had 4 touchdowns, Blunt had 2, Smallwood had 1, and so did Kenyon Barner. So 8 total touchdowns they had in the red zone at running back. So it's definitely interesting. They're all going to do a little bit of everything. That's just the way Doug Peterson likes to use his running backs, and I'm really okay with that because all 3 of these guys are extremely dynamic, and they can all do a lot of different stuff. And maybe even the 4th guy. Let's not forget about Matt Jones, Wendell Smallwood, and Josh Adams or Donnell Pumphrey. Whoever wins that 4th spot as well, especially if it's Matt Jones, I think is going to have a bigger role than maybe some people expect. Before we continue our running back preview, I want to talk to you today about Core Essentials, who is sponsoring today's episode. That's Core, K-O-R-E. Core Essentials makes the best belt you'll ever own, trust me. What makes the Core track belt so awesome? No belt holes. That's right. Instead, their belts use a hidden track in the back of the belt with over 40 size points to choose from. Ever wonder why your pants slip and turn that waistline into a gut? Every day as you work, walk, eat, and play, your waist size fluctuates in and out, just a little at a time. So the Core track belt adjusts to match your waist exactly. Each point on the cord track belt is just a quarter inch apart. That simple, small innovation means you get a precise, steady, and comfortable fit every time you put it on. Removing or adjusting your track belt is simple. Pinch the small tab under the buckle. Core's patented design also makes it easy to remove the buckle or swap styles. Core track belt ships one size to fit every waist from 24 to 44 inches with an extra large belt that goes up to 54 inches. You adjust the size yourself using their easy guide. Core offers a full line of fashion belts, including classic double stitched with full grain leather and smooth belts with no stitching at all, as well as gun belts for concealed carry. They also offer a stylish assortment of buckle faces made using solid stainless steel or high-grade zinc alloys. Core's men's belts carry a 30-day money-back guarantee and a full one-year warranty against all defects, unusual wear or breakage, so feel confident when you shop and know that you're covered. But trust me, you're going to really love these and want to get rid of the rest of your belts, throw away all those other ones in your closet, and visit coreessentials.com to learn more and get your own Core Track belt to see firsthand why it's the best belt you'll ever own. Seriously, once you go Core Track, you're never going to go back. And we've got a special offer just for our listeners. Save 10% off your order when you use our code LOCKEDON at checkout. All caps, LOCKEDON, no spaces. That's Core with a K, K-O-R-E essentials.com, and use the code LOCKEDON to save 10% off your order. So before our break, we mentioned the fourth running back spot. Right now, if you had to ask me, I would say Matt Jones is the favorite. But with Wendell Smallwood's ability to punt return and kick return, you remember back in 2016 when he was a rookie, that big kickoff return touchdown he had against the Redskins, he does have that ability. This is his third year in the offense, so he has the most familiarity with the system and with Deuce Staley and Doug Peterson over the other guys. But Deuce Staley has really made it his job, it seemed like, in mini camps and OTAs to really hone in on Matt Jones. I think Jones is probably going to be the guy. Josh Adams had the most guaranteed money of any undrafted rookie, I believe, coming in out of Notre Dame. So he's another local kid that maybe if he shines in the preseason, the Eagles bring on the roster or end up having him on the practice squad. Denell Pumphrey is tough. I just don't really see, with Corey Clement almost taking over the role they expected Pumphrey to do last year and having Darren Sproles, it's going to be very difficult for Pumphrey to make the roster. And he just seems too small still. He doesn't look, I mean, he got bigger from last year to this year, but I just don't see it with Pumphrey. I really don't. I didn't like the pick to start. Thank God they found Clement as an undrafted rookie, because the Pumphrey pick really just, I don't know, it seemed like they were making up for missing out on the other runners in that draft, which, by the way, was a historic running back class, and it sucks that I really wanted Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, maybe Kareem Hunt. I'm fine with Clement, but Pumphrey was just, it seems like a miss, and I think they're going to end up moving on in the summer. I think it's going to come down to Jones or Smallwood, and if Adams can be healthy in the preseason, maybe blow up, he might push the other guys, but if my money was on anyone right now, it'd probably be Matt Jones, with Wendell Smallwood a little bit behind on that one. Before we wrap up the show, I want to talk about the running back market, because this definitely ties in with Jay Ajayi. It has to do with Le'Veon Bell this week, who could not get a deal done with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Despite being the most elite running back in the game, he's not just a running back, he is one of the best receiving backs. Not just one of the best, he's the best receiving back in football, but he's probably one of the best receivers on your team instantly when you add him. He's one of your top three receivers, honestly, too. And he's trying to reset the market, and the Steelers did not want to pay him more than $10 million guaranteed. I think Le'Veon wanted around $17 million, but it's definitely interesting. The running back market is tough. I talked with Zach Moore of OverTheCap.com about this. And it made me start thinking about Jay Ajayi, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent next year. And with the Eagles' rushing scheme, it's so reliant on the offensive line, which I know it sounds obvious, but it's not like the Steelers' rushing offense, where Bell is making a lot of the decisions based on what the offensive line opens up for them. It's Le'Veon's really making the cuts, and that's, you know, you hear about how patient he is, but the Steelers like to do a lot of trickery with their rushing offense. They like to make it seem like a hole is open for a linebacker to shoot through, and Le'Veon chooses to see which other side, which other avenue he can get through. It's the Eagles more thrive with the offensive line just creates, and the running back hits that hole, and it's pretty reliant more on the offensive line, whereas the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell's the guy a lot of the time that is making the plays. I don't want to take away from the Steelers' offensive line. It's one of the best in football, but it's definitely, there's more responsibility on Le'Veon Bell's shoulders than there is on Jay Ajayi's and Corey Clement and Darren Sproles. So that begs the question, should they pay Ajayi next year or just draft another running back? Howie hasn't really yet spent big assets on the position, but for me, yes, it is a position that is easy to find production, more so than a wide receiver, clearly, 2016. But if you have cemented that talent, or even have an elite guy you should... Like, I'm paying Le'Veon Bell, especially with the Steelers, where their window is the next, 3 years with Big Ben. I want to keep those guys. I don't want to lose them. You know, I'll pay a running back just as much as I'll pay a wide receiver. But I do understand teams taking advantage of the market because, you know, how it's a very transferable, it's easy to transition from college to the pros, I think more so than any other position when you're talking about a running back. And because teams are finding them in the fourth and fifth round, I do understand teams not wanting to pay elite money to these guys, but you would, just as a human, hope it's very tough to see these players getting paid like they're kickers. I think hopefully Le'Veon Bell can reset the market for running back sakes next year, but I do understand why the Eagles have exploited this deficiency in the market, really, when it comes to running backs just not being able to get paid, and the Eagles are taking advantage of that. It's really something that they have not had to spend money on or not had to spend high draft picks on since Howie Roseman has taken over for Chip Kelly. Jai isn't elite, but with his knee history and the market, plus the workload he's going to get, I think he'll get around 200 touches. I don't think that's enough for him to just absolutely cash in next year. I don't think the Eagles are going to have to pay a whole lot to keep Ajayi next year. I think maybe around $5 million. The Carlos Hyde range with the Cleveland Browns, Hyde's making, I think, around $5.5 million annually, somewhere around there. I think the Eagles should be able to afford that. If they don't keep Ronald Darby and say they want to pay Brandon Graham, you pay Brandon Graham and you pay Ajayi, I think you're going to have enough room for that next year. Zach Moore, actually, he fit out a plan where the Eagles could free up almost $30 million next year in cap space. So they're going to have enough, if you ask me, to pay Jay Ajayi, and you're going to keep that Carson Wentz deal down the road, not pay him probably till 2020, 2021. So Jay Ajayi, I think he's going to be a better deal than some people think. So I'm not just getting rid of him for the sake of we're not paying running backs. If he has a big year this year, maybe 1,100 yards, and him and Corey Clement complement each other perfect, and the Eagles are top five again in rushing, I'd like to keep that core intact, especially with Jay Ajayi only being 25 years old. If he stays healthy, of course. I'm not paying him $5.5 million, maybe $6 million, if he only plays 10, 11 games this year. But I would like to keep Jay Ajayi. He's extremely talented when he's healthy. You know, his fifth-round grade, excuse me, or fifth-round draft selection was not indicative of his talent. It was just the knee issues. People are very concerned with that, but if he proves another year where he can stay healthy, I think the Eagles will very much consider keeping him past 2018. But again, man, you just got to feel for these running backs as humans. But I do understand why teams take advantage of the market. It's the way it's been established. By the way, too, I thought about this. Rookies, you remember back in the 2010 CBA, one of the big things for veterans was the rookies got these big contracts. Remember the Sam Bradford massive rookie deal, Matt Stafford? There were these big rookie contracts, and the veterans wanted that money. So now rookies end up only making around a lot of the guys are making like six figures, and that's really it. They're not even in the millions yet on their first deal. When you think about it, the rookies making a little money almost screwed over these veterans because Howie Roseman can go get a Corey Clement. They think to themselves, why should I go pay someone like Jay Ajayi if he wants $7 to $8 million, although he's not going to want that next year probably, considering only Devonta Freeman and LeSean McCoy are near that range, and Le'Veon Bell, of course. Why would you pay those guys when the rookie deals are so low? That's so, honestly, when you think about it, they wanted that change in the CBA, but it's kind of cost the running back position pretty dearly. It hasn't as much the quarterback position, other positions in the sport, but I think the running back position has really suffered because of that new rule where the rookies are not making a whole lot of money, because you can pay Alvin Kamara literally nothing for 4 years and get elite talent out of the position. Why would you want to pay Mark Ingram, you know, $8-9 million? It just doesn't seem plausible. But I think Le'Veon Bell is going to reset the market next year, hopefully for their sakes, because running backs are underpaid. It is a position that you can find production really anywhere, but it sucks when just even the elite guys can't find deals similar to that of Kenny Stills and Sammy Watkins in the receiver market. Receivers are harder to find, and I would rather pay a receiver, but when I understand maybe not wanting to pay guys like Jay Ajayi a whole lot of money, because that production is probably very replaceable, but when you're a Le'Veon Bell type player and you want to get paid like Sammy Watkins does and you can't, that's got to be frustrating. Running backs still have a huge role in football. So, and the age 30 running back thing, to me, is kind of overrated, too. How many positions aren't expected to drop off when that player hits the age of 30? Receivers, people expect that. I expect that really with every position. Quarterback, eventually. Quarterback more so have a better shelf life because they get hit the least amount of any football player outside of kickers and punters. But, you know, we talk about running backs taking that dip when they're 30, but really any football player, once they hit the age of 30, you're expecting them to have a drop-off, you know? So that's another part of it that I think there's just this narrative that's formed around the running back position. So, and GMs have listened to it too, and you see that with how teams are paying this position. And it's interesting. We'll see if it changes. I don't know if it will. I think maybe it's something that's got to happen with the new CBA that's coming in 2020. If maybe running backs want their money guaranteed, or it's got to be Le'Veon Bell cashing in next year. If he can get, you know, $15 to $16 million in the free agent market with 31 teams competing for his services, maybe 32 if the Steelers still want in, then once he sets that, then it's a trickle-down effect. David Johnson, Todd Gurley, they'll get those deals, and then Jay Ajayi might end up getting, those kind of players might get more what the top's making right now, which is, you know, Devonta Freeman and LeSean McCoy. So the running back market, it's so tough because, again, you don't blame GMs because of how easy sometimes it is to find these running backs to produce on different areas, you know, in the late in the draft and unrestricted free agency, undrafted rookies, first round picks that, again, even though they're elite talents and high draft picks you spend, you don't have to pay for 4 years. You don't blame them for that, but then you're thinking, like, these guys get battered around every single year. It's one of the more grueling positions in football, and they can't cash in even some of the best that are just as important to their team as receivers and cornerbacks, safeties, you know, and just it's a tough thing to try to solve, to try to find a middle ground. But, you know, with Le'Veon Bell, that's why I think maybe guaranteed money might be that middle ground, but I just don't think the owners will ever do it. But we'll see if Le'Veon Bell resets the market next year for it. But that's going to conclude our running back talk today on the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Please check us out tomorrow when we preview the receiver position, which is going to be a fun one considering the Eagles got some big-time talent there for the first time since, obviously since last year, but they're even deeper than last year, and we've been looking to replace, you know, DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin since 2014, so it's already been 4 years, and it really feels like now we have an established receiving core with Alshon Jeffrey, Mike Wallace, Nelson Aguilar, and you got Mac Hollins, Shelton Gibson, some nice young pieces behind them. We'll get into that tomorrow right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. LockedOnEagles.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify. You can find us all on there. And as always, follow me on Twitter at DiBiase, L-O-E. Thank you to everyone that listened. Fly, Eagles, fly. Let's go, Birds.